Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how the return on rent is always negative 100% and how we can all live for free. So there's a ton of talk about how there's a housing affordability crisis in various parts of the country. And perhaps the fear of forever being priced out is an underestimated motivating force behind the continued demand for housing despite pretty much record high prices. In 2018, we saw a softening of the real estate market, which is great, actually. In San Francisco, we saw price declines of about 5 to 10%, the median price, that is. And now that rates have come down and the economy seems to be chugging along with the S&P 500 back to almost record highs, the interest for property has returned. And to me, it's always a little bit scary to be buying assets at very high prices, especially with leverage. But what I realized recently is that many people in San Francisco and many other cities have not had to pay a single penny for housing costs over the years. And given this is the case, you know, how is this so? Well, I'll tell you. But given this is the case, a decline in the property market probably won't be as bad as we all expect, given the massive amount of home equity that has been built. So how do people live for free in places like San Francisco and New York and Seattle and so forth? Well, the answer is clearly that people have done extraordinarily well in their investments, in their real estate investments over the past 7 to almost 10 years. So one profile of a friend, he basically purchased his home for $1.3 million in 2011 and sold for $2.2 million in early 2019. He put 20% down, took out a $1,040,000 mortgage at 3.5%. And here are some numbers to just get your head around. The positives. He avoided rent for 8 years, right? That's a positive, of $440,000 or $5,500 a month. And the net proceeds after fees, principal pay down, all taxes from selling the house was $1.1 million. So in other words, the positives of owning this property for 8 years is $1.54 million. Now, of course, we have the negatives. One includes the opportunity cost of not investing the $260,000 down payment in the stock market from 2011 to 2019. The stock market appreciated 110%, so he could have made $286,000 from that down payment. And then there's the net mortgage interest cost after 8 years, $203,000, and then net property taxes after 8 years of $90,000, and then finally maintenance costs of about $20,000. So the net living cost, if you add up the positives, subtract all the minuses, is $941,000. So not only did my friend's family live for free for the past 8 years, he was also paid $941,000 to live in San Francisco, which is a pretty good deal for just living, right? So obviously experiencing a 69% appreciation in this property was a big factor in this equation, but so was not having to pay $440,000 in rent during this time period. So look, I definitely cherry-picked a really bullish time. So let's say he only experienced 3% per annum appreciation, which is pretty common across the entire country, my friend would have still been paid over $500,000 to live in San Francisco for 8 years. And if you look at places like Seattle, even places like Denver and Dallas, there's some really explosive price appreciation. So it's not just this one guy. There are thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of homeowners who have experienced a tremendous amount of appreciation and who are living for free. So in the post, you have this really interesting chart on how much you'll spend on rent in 25 major cities in your lifetime, you know, by age 30, 40, 50, and 60. You know, New York, for example, you'll spend about $800,000 by age 50 if you keep on renting. Los Angeles, you'll spend $2.2 million for the median price paid by age 60. And it goes on and on. So what this chart should show you is that, this is a lot of rent to pay with no optionality at the end. You know, I'd love for property prices to decline 15 to 20% in San Francisco so I can snap up another Golden Gate Heights panoramic view property, which I think has the most potential for property price appreciation over the next 5 to 10 to 20 years. It's just a no-brainer in my opinion, because every single other international city in the world view properties trade at premiums, massive premiums, whereas San Francisco, they don't because it's a little bit farther away from downtown where people have to slave away at work. So here are some takeaways from getting paid to live. One, the return on rent is always negative 100%. Yes, you get a place to live, but if you buy, you also get a place to live. So once you cancel out these variables, what's left is the owner's optionality to sell the asset. Now, the asset might appreciate in value as you hope, or it might depreciate in value. But so long as you have that optionality, that's what matters. You know, people come on and comment, you know, no, rent is not a negative return 100%. And, you know, it provides me utility and all that. But look, let's say you pay $1,000 on rent per month. What is the financial return on that $1,000? It is zero. You don't get any financial return. This is a irrefutable fact, folks. So you can't argue me on that. Now, we can argue about, you know, what we would have done if we had invested the money that would have gone to the property and so forth, of course. But the return on rent is always negative 100%. Two, although buying a home is making a concentrated bet with leverage, buying a home may ironically be easier than investing the same amount of money in the stock market because you're buying a tangible asset that may improve the quality of your life, right? You're going to make memories, you're going to live life, and it could be great. Now, with stocks, there's no utility. Further, prices could decline out of the blue as we saw in December of 2018. Three, renting and investing the difference in the stock market and other assets is a great idea, and that's what you're going to do. But the reality is, people often fail due to a lack of financial discipline. You know, when the cookies are in front of you, you're going to eat the cookies. When the lemon meringue pie is in front of you, you're probably going to eat it as well. Without a proper automatic investment strategy in place, chances are high the saved difference ends up just getting spent or left sitting in a bank account, which nowadays, not so bad given you can get 2.4% plus on your money market rate. Four, time is your friend when it comes to owning property. Over time, the cost to rent rises to barf-inducing levels. Meanwhile, the appreciation of a property also sometimes rises to unbelievable levels. The only way you can survive as a renter is if rents stay flat or go down, which usually doesn't happen due to inflation, population growth, demographic shifts, job growth, and so forth, right? So rising rents and rising property prices will crush your financial progress if you are unwilling to get neutral real estate by owning at least your primary residence or relocate to a lower cost area. Five, to live for free, you've got to take risks. Yeah, I'm sorry, folks, you got to take some risks. There's no free lunch. Staying in a rent-controlled apartment is somewhat akin to working at a safe day job with no upward mobility. You'll likely never starve, but you'll likely never get rich either. And then finally, living for free strengthens the real estate market further. Again, tremendous amount of home equity has been built over the past 7 years since the last recession. Okay, 10 years. And given lenders have significantly tightened their lending standards since the 2009 financial crisis, only the most creditworthy borrowers have bought homes. So when you combine this with record high home equity, I don't know, I just can't see prices in the real estate market decline by much more than 15% over a 2 or 3 year period before, you know, property prices resume their upward trend. So of course there's no guarantees. Once you own your primary residence, you won't truly know until after you've sold your property whether you lived for free all those years or not. In the meantime, you can make educated estimates every year about whether buying or renting made more sense. But if you really want to live for free in the present, you've got to figure out a way to make your investments that will produce enough income to cover all your housing expenses and then some. Right, the concept of buy utility, rent luxury is one logical strategy where you rent in an expensive city and you buy property in lower valuation cities with higher cap rates to cover your costs. That arbitrage is a no-brainer. Another arbitrage is aggressively saving money on the short end of the yield curve and then borrowing on the long end to hopefully gain a bigger return. But the easiest strategy is to simply not rent for life, folks. If you rent for life, you're going to look back 30 years from now with regret. Your kids will likely hate you or despise you or just think you're kind of a dummy for renting for that long. It always helps me, and I think it should help you as an investor, to think super long term, to think how your kids will think 20, 30, 40 years from now about the opportunities you have today. And so once you start thinking that way, I think you'll be willing to take more calculated risks. Of course, you've got to run the numbers and make sure it makes sense. And you've got to make sure that you're going to stay in that place for at least 5 or 10 years so you can withstand the downturn. But if you're not willing to build assets for yourself, at least do it for your children. I think they're going to thank you. So let me know, folks, in the comments section whether you believe it's better to rent or to buy, and whether you believe the return on rent is negative 100%, which it is. I'd love to hear from you. It's always a good time for something, but let's hear it from you.